What's up, everyone? Good morning. Welcome to day 40 of Lent. Now you might be thinking, well, 40 days of Lent, does that mean Lent is over? Nope, it does not. The 40 days of Lent are the number of days between Ash Wednesday and Easter minus the Sundays. So there are 6 Sundays of Lent. So there's actually 46 days within Lent. We only really count 40 of them since Sundays are not days of fasting. Lent was called the Great Fast. That was one of the names for it, among others like Quadragesima. There's 40 days of fasting in Lent. That's where we get the number 40 from. Sundays, we do not fast. We abstain and still do penance and everything. We just don't fast. So there's actually 46 days within Lent. So we have 6 days left after this. Basically, today is Palm Sunday. So we have the 6 days of Holy Week prior to Easter. So we have a week left at this point, guys. It is the beginning of Holy Week. It is Palm Sunday. So without further ado, let's get into our meditation, which is once again a meditation from Bishop Jacques Bossuet, compiled into a book called Meditations for Lent by Sophia Institute Press. We'll throw up an image on screen. There won't be anything to watch. You just listen and meditate. These go up daily on YouTube and Spiritus TV, and they also go up daily on all the audio podcast app. So, I'm going to throw up the image on screen and we're going to get going here. Day 40, Palm Sunday, the entry of our Lord into Jerusalem. Although the advent of Christ had to be accomplished in humility, contrary to the expectation of the Jews, it would not be utterly destitute of glory and brilliance. This brilliance was necessary so that the Jews might see that as humble as their Savior was, and as contemptible as he appeared, he could yet attract the greatest glory that men were capable of giving, even to the point of his being made king. Had not the ingratitude of the Jews and a secret dispensation of God's wisdom prevented it. This is what we see in his entry into Jerusalem, the most striking and beautiful royal entry ever made. A man who seems to be the lowliest in consideration and power receives from all the people, both in the royal city and in the temple, honors greater than any ever given to a king. This is the brilliance. Yet we must not forget the humility and infirmity that were inseparable from the earthly condition of the Son of God. And we will see them too after we have considered his glory. Although the Son of God appeared to be the least of men, he was born to be a king in the most admirable way possible, because they admired his deeds, his holy life, his miracles, so compassionate towards mankind. The crowds had left everything to follow him, together with their wives and children, even into the desert lands far from their homes, without so much as thinking of their everyday needs. And when Jesus had fed them with 5 loaves and 2 fish, to the number of 5,000 men, besides women and children, Matthew 14:21, they were so amazed that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, and recognize him as the Christ, John 6:15. Visible then was some of the same brilliance that we see here today, in his entry into Jerusalem. On the day of the palms, however, it pleased him to allow his people's admiration to declare itself. This is why they ran before him with palms in their hands, crying out that he was their king, the true son of David, who was to come, and the Messiah for whom they had waited. Children joined in, and their innocent witness shows us just how sincere was the people's joy. Never had so much been done for any king. The people cast their own clothing upon the path before him. They hewed down green branches to cover the road. Everything. Even the trees seemed to bow before him. The costliest of tapestries ever displayed for a royal entry could not equal these simple, natural ornaments. the trees pruned and the people stripping themselves to prepare the way for their king. It was a ravishing spectacle. In other royal entries, the people are told to prepare the way, and their joy is, as it were, by command. Here, everything was done by the movement of the people's hearts. No outward splendor struck the eye. This poor, meek king sat upon a donkey, a lowly, peaceful steed. There was no horse whose spiritedness would attract regard. There were neither followers nor guards, neither spoils of victory nor captive kings. The palms carried before him were the mark of another sort of victory. All of the apparatus of an ordinary triumph was banished from this one. In its place we see the sick whom he had cured and the dead he had brought back to life. The person of the king and the memory of his miracles were what made the feast. All that art and flattery can design to honor a conqueror in a day of victory gave way before the simplicity and the truth that made their appearance here. With this holy festivity, they led the Savior to the middle of Jerusalem, to the holy mountain of the temple. There he appeared as its Lord and Master, as the Son of the royal house, the Son of the God who is worshipped there. Neither Solomon, its founder, nor the high priest who officiated there had ever received equal honors. We should pause here and take the time to reflect upon the whole of this great spectacle. Well, there is the meditation. And, you know, Christ chose to be incarnated at a specific time and place in history. And he chose to be incarnated in Judea, in the Holy Land, you know, in the first century. Basically, he chose to be incarnated under the Roman Empire. And what we see here on Palm Sunday, if you really think about it, is we see a Roman triumph. And what I mean by that is the triumph was the military parade, the victory parade that a Roman general or consul, emperor, would be granted by the Senate to have when he arrived back in Rome from some great victory. It was the only time troops, well, at least in the Republic, it was the only time troops could enter into Rome under arms was when they were granted a triumph. And these parades were very political, which is why they had to be granted by the Senate, because what it would do is it would sway popular opinion. Not to mention they could have troops under arms in Rome. So they had to be very careful, because given enough triumphs, one could very easily use it to potentially take power in Rome. But what these triumphs were is, like I said, a victory military parade. And they would bring back their spoils of war, their gold, slaves, rare animals, exotic things, and display them on this parade in Rome. And they would throw out gold and silver to the people. And that's what really, that's why people love the triumphs. One, it was a spectacle. And two, it was, like throwing candy to kids in a parade today, except it was throwing gold coins. So people love triumphs, but it was all kind of bought and paid for, right? And at the same time, the consul, the general, whoever it was that was the triumph was being thrown for, as they were parading through the streets, they had a slave behind them whispering in their ear, "Remember, you are just a man. You are not a god," basically. And we see something so different here with Christ's triumph, basically, on Palm Sunday in Jerusalem. He's not throwing gold to the crowd. There's no spectacle. There's no exotic animals, no captured kings. That was one thing the Romans would often do, is any leaders of the enemy that they captured would be paraded through the streets. So Christ doesn't have any spectacle to give the people. He's not throwing gold to them. This is all happening naturally out of their, you know, out of Christ's glory. He has no slave behind him telling him he is just a man because he is God. So I think that's a, you know, it's one thing I never really thought of before, that this wouldn't have been completely unknown to the people, that this is a Roman triumph, except better, basically. So anyways, I thought that was really cool, something that I hadn't really considered before. And I love that Bishop Bossuet, shows that in his meditation. Anyways, it is Palm Sunday. It is the beginning of Holy Week. After today, starting tomorrow, you know, we need to do more this week. Fast extra. If you have not abstained from meat every day up to this point, try abstaining from meat every single day this week. If you have abstained from meat every day up to now, try, you know, not doing dairy this week. Try going vegan this week. Fast extra. Maybe if you have only been fasting on Fridays, or if you have only fasted on Ash Wednesday up to now, fast every day this week. Have only one meal. Do something more. Do something extra penitential, and definitely pray more this week. It is Holy Week, so let's do everything we can in preparation for Easter. Anyways, thank you all. I appreciate it, and I will see you all again tomorrow. Thank you.